Okay, are you ready for the word? Have you got your Bible, got your phone out to take notes and not check your bank account or your Facebook? Are you ready? Are you ready? Father, we come around your word right now. We love your word. There is nothing like it. And we ask you to change us, to speak to us. Sharpen your word prophetically. Lord, let it be like an arrow that hits the mark in our hearts. We open ourselves up to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know, I believe that this year, 2019, God is calling us individually and as a church to take steps of faith and courage. So that's my title today, Taking Steps of Faith and Courage. Write that down, Take Steps of Faith and Courage. Now is the time for us to do just that. Now, in the next month, as we've talked about, we're planning three new initiatives. North is happening in 3 weeks on the 10th of February. The Alpha Course. Now, Thursday the 31st of January, the Alpha Course isn't actually starting, but what we are starting that night is a training for leaders, the people on the team who want to be on the leadership team of Alpha and run it. So if that's you, you come on the 31st and we'll start the course in the next month. So we've got North starting, C3 City Church North. We've got Alpha starting, which we've never run before, but we're really wanting unsaved to be saved, so we're doing Alpha. And number three, we're starting C3 College. How exciting is that? It's in the upper room up the stairs. If you've always wanted to be in the upper room, this is your opportunity. It's a leadership training course, and it's going to be amazing. If you want more info, you can look on the website or talk to Pastor Rachel, who's on the front row here. So these are exciting times. As a church, we're taking steps of faith and courage. Also individually, in 2019, we need to take steps of faith and courage. These are exciting times. These are pioneering days. These are not times to be sitting on the couch every night watching Netflix until your brain goes soft. These are not days to be staying safe and retreating into our comfort zone. These are days to step up and serve the Lord. There's a harvest to be reaped in the city, in the bay. And God always calls us to step out in faith and encourage for Him. There are opportunities all around us to serve God by serving people. Not only here at church, but in your street, in your school, in your office. And when we get to heaven, remember, we're going to have to give an account to Jesus of how we've used this life that He gave us, of how we've used this new year, 2019, that He's given us. We've got to seize this day. We've got to seize this year. We've got to capture this moment. We've got to use this time productively for Him, because time is running out. We're none of us getting any younger, especially this side. I'm with you. I'm turning a significant number in a few months. And it's not 40. 20 of our youth leaders are away. This side's a bit empty than it normally is. On a leaders retreat, we went over there to Ohopi last night and laid hands on them and prophesied. It was an awesome time. The day to serve God is now. So we're in a new year. We've come back from camping. We didn't get a divorce putting up the tent. We've made our New Year's resolutions to start smoking and gambling, and it's all good. We're ready to go. And God speaks to us in a new year about new things to start and old things to give up. Now, a lot of this stuff rolls over and stays the same from the year before. You don't adopt out all your kids. You know, you keep parenting and you keep your job, hopefully. But there is always something new, because God wants us to be continually growing spiritually. So here's my question to you. What is it that the Lord is prompting you to do this year, but you're too scared to do it? You're pretending you didn't hear Him. And God is speaking to you, and you're like this. And you're not hearing Him because you're scared. And you're thinking, what if I try it and it bombs? What will people think? What will they all say? You know, it is a sad day when we're more concerned about what people think than we are about what God thinks. We've got to keep asking ourselves, who are we serving here? Is it other people's opinions? Is it our reputation? Or is it the Lord Almighty? God Almighty is one to be obeyed, not ignored. Of all the voices in the universe, to listen to, God is the main one. Of all the commands out there to obey, his needs to be first and foremost. He is not one to dismiss or to ignore. He is the king over all kings. He is the Lord over all lords. And when he speaks, we get up and go. When he says jump, we say how high? Because we are his warriors in his army and we are under his authority. Man, I'd rather obey God's voice and have a go, whatever the outcome, than play it safe and not try anything because I'm scared of getting it wrong. It's fear that stops us from stepping out in faith and courage. Fear immobilizes us. It makes us freeze. It renders us useless. Fear makes cowards of us all. And do you know what the Bible says in Revelation, who the first people were who were thrown into the lake of fire in Revelation 21 verse 8? It was the cowardly. Check it for yourself. The cowardly. We don't want to be cowards. In 2019, there is one thing we can't afford to do, and that is play it safe. We can never live just hiding under the bed our whole lives. We've got to do our part while we can to build the kingdom of God. And whatever it is that God is saying to you to do, it's going to take a step of faith and courage to do it. It took faith and courage to complete this building reno here over the past 2 years. We're having an opening on March the 10th, a great day to invite your unchurched workmates, neighbors, people who have driven past it every day, asked you about it. But do you know what? It took a whole lot more faith and courage for Pastor Phil and Audrey Collis and their team 40 years ago to secure this land and build the first building. Give them a hand right now. Praise God. Woo! And if they hadn't have done that, we'd be sitting in the avocado orchard right now. One might fall on your head. You know, we stand on the shoulders of faith giants in the past. Their generation did great things. What's our generation going to do? I'll tell you what we're not going to do, and that's nothing. We are not going to do nothing. The worst thing we could do right now is say, well, we've finished the building reno. Phew, praise God. Let's just sit back and relax. Let's kick back and get Victor and the girls to make us another latte. Jesus told us to work while it is yet day, because night is coming when no one can work. So I've got a question for you personally. What is God prompting you to do in 2019? What's he saying? Apply for that job. Ask your friend at work to come to Alpha with you. Start to exercise regularly and lose weight. Start that business. Ask that girl out. Who said you? No. Apply for that training course. Leave home. There's a word for someone. Young people. Set up a flat. Join C3 College on Tuesday nights in the upper room. Ask your friend at school to come to youth camp. Help Plant North for the first 3 to 6 months. Bring your neighbor's kids to church with you and your kids. Have another baby. Read the whole Bible through in a year. Stand for election for that sports club or the board of trustees at your kid's school. Start coming up to this new prayer room every week regularly for a prayer session. Read a book a month from the church library upstairs for your personal growth. Do a missions trip. Or it may be something else entirely, but you know what God is speaking to you about. Whatever it is that God is telling you, you'll know it's God because it doesn't go away when it's God. It stands the test of time and it keeps coming back. With his help, you can do it. It's going to take a step of faith and courage, but with his help, you can do it. Tell the person next to you, you can do it. Oh, yeah. We're getting to the word soon. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 1, so we're getting there. Do you know, we often dismiss God's voice because what he says to us seems scary and hard. And we think, well, that can't be God. God loves me. God would only lead me into nice, easy things. Really? My experience has been the scarier it is, the more likely it is to be God. Because God is big. He sees the big picture. He thinks big. And he is our dad, and he is committed to us moving forward. He is committed to moving us onward and upward. He is committing to us. Sorry, he is committed to us to fulfill our maximum potential that he has given us. And in the New Testament, we see that Jesus is really into movement and momentum. He loves the word go. We know 2/3 of God's name is go. He was always telling people where to go. Literally. I looked up in my Strong's Concordance, which I still have, and I counted 45 times in the Gospels where Jesus said go to somebody as a direct command. He started it. Go and do this. Go and do that. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's go over now. Go over to the other side. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Go and show yourselves to the priest. Jesus told people where to go. Jesus did not sit around. He was on a mission from God. And so are we. Tell the person next to you, and so are you. And now your second choice, tell them, and so are you. So what is it that Jesus is telling you to go and do this year? There will be something. Take that step of faith and courage. Now we're going to turn to Joshua first. We're going to look at two guys who did just this. And we're going to look at their names. You know, it's important to get names right. You should find out what your name means. It might be prophetic. And you know, it's like the guy, you've got to be careful with names. It's like the guy who said to the girl in the cafe, he thought it was a name badge on and it was trainee. And he goes, hi trainee, how are you doing? She said, it's trainee. You've got to be careful with names. These names, Joshua, means salvation. We're going to look at another guy in the New Testament too, Peter, which means rock. And both these names are actually names of Jesus too. He is our rock. And he is our salvation. And I think there's even a psalm that says, he is my rock and my salvation, you know, in the same phrase. So Joshua 1, verse 1 to 7, I'm going to read it to you now in the NIV. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Now, if I read it again and I say, instead of Moses, I'm going to say 2018, because Moses represents what is good, but what is actually now past and dead and gone. So 2018 may have been great, but it's over. So here we go. 2018 is dead and gone. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross over the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the people of God. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised you in 2018. Your territory will extend from dry places to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the country to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with you in 2018, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. I believe that 2018 is you could put it in there instead of Moses, because it represents what's over. It may have been good, but it's over. You know, Billy Graham was an amazing man of God, but he's in heaven now. He's gone now. He's not here on the earth. Who's going to reach the lost people now? We are. Whatever was good or bad or ugly, whatever in 2018, it is over and gone. It's a new year. It's a new time. It's a new day. And God is calling Joshua to rise up. God is calling us to rise up. Joshua represents what is new and unproven and about to step up. And I believe that this is us right now. Now, I read in NIV, in the King James, in the NIV it says, you know, therefore go and cross over this Jordan. So the King James says, therefore arise. The NIV was get ready. The New Living says that the time has come for you. The Message says, get going, cross this Jordan. The Amplified says, Moses is dead, therefore arise to take his place. So Moses is dead, but God's purpose is still very much alive. 2018 has passed, but God's purpose is still very much alive. Joshua must arise to finish what Moses began. We must arise to finish what God started in the past, last year. 2018 is dead, so arise, get ready. The time has come for you to get going. This is what God is speaking to us in 2019. Every place you walk upon or tread upon will be yours. He's given it to us, but we have to do something to receive it. He's given us the title deed of his promises that we just read out in that chapter, but it's up to us to possess it. We have to get up and get going and inhabit it. We have to do something. In order to fully own it, we have to take it and occupy it. And he is promising to be with us wherever we go. I love these promises that I just read out to you from verse 2 to 7. He said he won't fail us. He won't forsake us. No one will be able to stand before us all the days of our life. He is going to be with us wherever we go. And we're going to divide this land for an inheritance for the people and the kingdom of God. How good is that? We've got to continue serving God with the strength he's given us this year. Three times in this chapter, God says to be strong and very courageous because there were obstacles in their way. They were going to need courage. There was a river in flood. There were huge walls around the cities. There were mighty giants in the land, bigger than they'd ever seen before. Yet God told them to do it. He wouldn't have told them to do it if he knew they were all going to die and couldn't do it. He knew they could do it. That's why he told them to do it. He knew they could do it because he would help them do it supernaturally. And they did do it in the strength God gave them. They took a step of faith and courage and walked into it. Sometimes you just got to feel the fear and do it anyway. They had a go for God. You know, if Joshua had played it safe and, you know, thought, well, what will Osh think? And I better not, you know, have I got my Rams form submitted here? They would never have gone into the promised land. And there would be no Israel on our world map today if Joshua had played it safe. We don't want to play it safe. Life is too short to play it safe. Life is too short to have a perfectionist attitude. Well, I can't try something new because I might get it wrong. I might make a mistake. What if I get it wrong? What if you get it right? We've got to get over this fear of failure, people. It holds us back. Failure's not always bad. The path to success is often fraught with many failures. Here's a quote from Peter Marshall, who was an American preacher in New York who lived early last century. He said, it is better to fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. It's better to fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. We are serving the greatest cause of all, the cause of Christ. And God is for us, so who can ever be against us? Did you know that many highly successful people had failures happen to them and in their lives? They began with a few failures. Henry Ford, the guy who made all of those cars 100 years ago, he forgot to put a reverse gear in his first car. Albert Einstein, that great genius, his PhD dissertation was turned down by the University of Bern, who labeled it as irrelevant and fanciful. Thomas Edison, inventor of the light bulb, many other things, once spent $2 million, and that was a lot of money 100 years ago, $2 million on an invention that was a flop. And Winston Churchill, that great liberator and leader of Britain in World War II, his teacher wrote in his sixth form school report, a conspicuous lack of success. Yet these four men went on to change history. Thank God they didn't give up when they experienced a bit of failure, or else we'd be sitting here in the dark right now. Ridden here on a horse, we'd be practically Amish. Thank God they kept going. Perhaps it was failure that spurred them on to do better. And Winston Churchill, one of those great men, he said, success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Who's ever had a few failures in their life? Me too. You know, a few years ago, before we were pastors, we were youth pastors, and Alan was a self-employed accountant, and I was a teacher out of Bethlehem College, and then I was at home for preschoolers with preschoolers for nearly 13 years. And Alan would often see businesses that came up in that time when he was an accountant, and he saw quite a few businesses, and he's got a strong entrepreneurial gene, and he thought, oh, let's get a hold of this and have a go. And we did that about three times. Well, the first one, we lost $15,000. That was about 21 years ago. The second one, we lost over $100,000, which was our house. And the third one, I'm not even going to talk about. So, you know, some of these failures happened to us. None of these businesses flew. They all bombed. But I know those challenges built faith in us. And I remember only about 10 or 12 years ago, during the last one, saying to Alan, do you know, I feel like God is building faith in us right now for a building program. Well, we weren't even doing a building program then, but we are now. And in the last 2 years, we've really been doing a building program. And I don't think that we would have been able to do the things we're doing now had we not been through those challenges and failing experiences back then. And we learned, man, you don't run from the fight. You might get beat up, but you get up again to fight another day. You might fall over, but you get back up again and you carry on. And I reckon God just wants us to have a spirit of have a go. A spirit of have a go. God loves someone who'll just take a risk and have a go for him. Hands up if you're a parent. You remember when your first baby or second or third was about one and was just trying to walk, and they were having a go and they're taking their first step, and you were so excited. You it just gladdens your heart. You're so proud of it. You're like, come on, baby, you can do it, yeah. And you're filming them, and oh, it's the biggest deal in the world. And they try and take a step and then they fall over and they cry. And you don't say, ha, look at you. You fell down. You epic loser! What a fail! And you put it on Instagram and you post it on social media. Epic fail! Your baby crying on there. No, you don't do that. You're just so proud and you're like, come on, get up, have another go, try again. And you clap them again. Because you know, if they keep going, they're not only going to walk, they're going to run. And God is like that with us. When we have a go, yet we are so allergic to having a go because we might get it wrong. We might fail. What if I didn't hear God right? What if you did? Our Bible is full of people who heard from God and had a go. They didn't always get it right the first time, Jonah, but they got there in the end. We've got to have a go. We've got to encourage one another. And the Lord is like this. When we're taking steps of faith, He's cheering us on. He is committed to our success. He knows we're going to master it if we just keep trying. The Lord believes in you. He knows you can do what it is He has called you to do. He is putting strength inside you now for any battles that you're going to face in 2019. God allowed Joshua and the people of God to face some tests and battles. Why did God do that? Because He didn't want His people to be soft and scared and fat and lazy. God does not want a bunch of spineless jellyfish. He wants His people strong, battle-ready, fearless, full of faith and courage. So He teaches us how to do that. He teaches us how to fight. He lets us face some battles. And He helps us to win them. Here's a scripture that proves that point. Judges 3, verse 1 and 2. That comes after Joshua. These are the nations the Lord left in the land to test all of those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. So God actually does allow us to face some hard times on purpose so we can have battle experience, so He can teach us how to fight. He wants to teach us spiritual warfare. We got to know how to stand up against the devil. We've got to know how to pray. We've got to know how to use the sword, which is the Word of God, to stand on His Word and on His promises. This concept messes with some people's theology. Some Christians believe that if a thing is hard, then it can't be got. They think that God only wants them to have it easy all the time. But doesn't the Lord want me to be blessed? And doesn't he want me to be happy? Sometimes the path to blessing goes through the valley of hard times. That's when we get desperate and cry out to God in prayer. And that's when we learn how to fight. And some fights are good. We are fighting the good fight of faith. It's what Paul said to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. God wants us to learn how to pray and fight and war in the spirit realm. Sometimes he will do this by leaving some hard stuff in our pathway, but it's in the hard times that we grow. It's in the hard times that the Lord forms his character within us. We learn perseverance. This is who the Lord is making you into, a strong, fearless warrior. This is who you are. This is who God has called you to be. This is who God is making you into. So you can say, move over, Wonder Woman. Move over, Dwayne Johnson. I'm coming through. Tell the person next to you, she's talking about you. Now we're going to the New Testament, Matthew 14. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he's calling you to partner with him. Matthew 14. I'm going to read it quickly, and then the band are going to come in about 1 minute. Matthew 14, 22. And this was walking on the water. I love this story. So Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost! They cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Now here's Peter, doesn't leave it there. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water! Jesus said, yes, come. So Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And they climbed into the boat. The wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Do you know, Peter was the only mortal on the planet to ever walk on the water. He did it because he wanted to be nearer Jesus. He said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Jesus' word to us is always come. He wants us to be nearer to him. Jesus is always trying to get us up and moving. He encourages and applauds all our steps of faith. We can say, well, but Peter failed, don't you know? Peter started to sink. But he still walked on water. He didn't drown. He didn't die. Jesus caught him. And Peter was closer to the Lord because of it. Peter was closer to Jesus on the water than the guys who had stayed in the boat. We can stay in the boat and be a spectator and just watch others become a part of Jesus' supernatural miracles. Or we can get out of the boat and become a participator in the things that Jesus is doing. It's only those who get out of the boat and respond to Jesus' call of come who experience the miracle. Those who stay in the boat only get to watch. They don't get to take part. And guess what? Peter was the one Jesus chose to lead the New Testament church. And guess what? Peter was the one who got to preach on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls were saved. I reckon it's because Peter got out of the boat and had a go and walked on water. I love that Peter had the spirit of have a go. God will use anyone who will just have a go. But it's going to take steps of faith and courage. You can stay in the boat or you can get out and move towards Jesus. It's your choice. But I don't want to just sit in the boat and watch other people walking on water. I want to have a go. We've got to step out of the comfort of our boat, of what is known, into the unknown. Into all that God has for you in 2019. And you know, I know that God loves people who have a go. And Jesus had no time for people who wouldn't have a go. If we think of the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. The master gave three guys an amount of money each. Two guys took a risk and invested it. and multiplied it. But one guy did nothing. Who was the Lord mad at? The one guy who did nothing. Don't be that guy. At least do something. That's what the Lord said. You could have at least invested it, but I would have got interest. Something is always better than nothing. And that something is going to take faith and courage. Say that, faith and courage. Tell the person next to you, faith and courage. That's what it's going to take. Faith is the language God speaks. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. We've got to have a go and do something with what God has given us. He's given us a new year. It lies before us. Don't settle for the status quo. Don't settle for the same old that you did last year. Have a go. Step out in faith and courage into all He's calling you to. There is yet more for you in 2019. Let's stand. And one more parting thought. Did you know that the territory Joshua and God's people actually conquered and occupied was much less than what God had promised them? Even under the kingdoms of David and Solomon, they still did not occupy all the territory that God promised in His covenant to Abraham back in Genesis 15, verse 18 to 21. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and see on that great big video screen in heaven all the things that I could have done but I didn't do. I don't want the Lord to say, well, you did well, but there was so much more. Look, I had all of this that you could have possessed, but you stopped short. You settled for the safe zone. You wanted to play it safe. You were scared of failure. You didn't want to make a mistake. No way. We want to spend and be spent for the kingdom of God. This is our time to give all and do all that God has got for us to do. We want to finish our race at the end of our life with no gas left in the tank because we've given it all for Him. We only have this life. Let's use it for the glory of God. Let's close our eyes. I know God is speaking to people this morning. There are some people here. You've been getting nervous while I've been talking because you know God is speaking to you about doing this thing. He's already been speaking to you before this morning about this new thing, but you've tried to dismiss it. You hoped it wasn't God. You hoped it would just go away, but it hasn't. And you know God is speaking to you to step up and do something that He's told you about in 2019. If that's you, I want you to put your hand up right now because I want to pray for you. Put your hand up. That's awesome. Thank you. That's good. That's great. I want to ask you guys to come out to the front if you want, if you will, because I really feel like I want to read this over you. If God is speaking to you about doing something new in 2019, and you know He is, you want to obey Him, you need faith and courage, come out. There's also people here, you've already signed up for something new in 2019. It might be a new job, it might be a new venture, and you're feeling like you just need a bit more faith and courage with it. I want you to come as well. Come on out here and take a step forward so we know who's on the altar and who's just in the front row. That's awesome. Why don't you lift your hands to the Lord if you're out here, out the front? Here we go, because this was for you. 2018 is dead, but you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to you, to the people of God. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised last year. Your territory will extend from dry places to fruitful places, Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the country to the great sea in the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with you last year, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. And now I'd like at least one of our leaders or ministry team to come and stand with each one of these people out the front and start to lay hands on them and prophesy and impart faith and courage into their spirit. Because these people are pioneers and they're taking steps of faith right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And Father, over us as a church, all of us here today in this building, I pray you would give us courage, that we would hear your voice clearly, and you would enable us to have faith and courage to take the steps we need to take to occupy all you have for us in 2019. Lord, as a church, I pray that we, C3 City Church, would always be a church who takes steps of faith and courage, because you're our leader, Lord. In ourselves, we can't do it, but we look to you. In Jesus' name, amen. 'Cause something's changing in the spirit.